before we turn back to that great Old Testament prayer of Jabez, I do want to read to you a New Testament prayer. It's found in Ephesians in the third chapter. Ephesians in the third chapter. And reading from the verse 14. What a prayer it is. One that we should read carefully. Consider prayerfully. Ephesians in the third chapter. And the verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, and to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a statement that is. When we remember the prayer of Moses, show me thy glory. Many might believe that's the greatest prayer in the Old Testament. Well, certainly we might also make the same judgment here concerning the New Testament. What a concept is set before us in these words, being filled with all the fullness of God. Notice how the prayer ends. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Please turn to 1 Chronicles and to chapter 4 and to our study of the prayer of Jabez. We have the inspired record of that in verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my host, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Last Sunday morning we came to the fourth main heading in our study of these verses, what I call the sublime utterances of his prayer. We underline, first of all, the focus of his prayer, that it is a God-centered prayer. And we notice, taking note of the title there, that Jabez calls on the God of Israel. We were thinking of the simple fact, glorious fact, of course, that Jabez truly knew God, the God of Israel, the sovereign God of grace, who had revealed himself to Abram, there in heathen darkness. The faithful God of that covenant that had been ratified by sacrifice and blood. The God of Israel was the one that Jabez called upon. Then we look at the character of his prayer. First of all, it is a passionate prayer. It is characterized by earnestness and purpose. You may recall the way I sought to impress that upon thee. Jabez called and the God of Israel said, bless me. No, no. Jabez called and the God of Israel said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. And yet that is not at all, of course. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Oh, there's passion in this prayer. How much we need to learn that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We need to know that warmth of heart, that burden of soul that calls us to seek God with fervency of spirit. And then we know that, of course, it was a precise prayer. And there are four great petitions in this prayer. And I'm going to develop these, taking for the theme or the subject of them, that this is a prayer for spiritual prosperity. This is a prayer for spiritual prosperity. And I bring you back to those opening words. All that thou would bless me indeed. Jabez, first of all, sought God for the grace of the blessing of God upon him. The grace of the blessing of God upon him. Jabez had learned to estimate rightly the value of God's blessing, the value of God's grace and favor. And hence, here it has priority in his prayer. What a wise and a safe prayer this is. I say that because of that concluding word, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. As C. Spurgeon said, the very pith of the prayer seems to be in that word. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Jabez is saying, send me that, Lord, which thou knowest is a blessing to me. Yea, Lord, send me that which thou knowest is a blessing to me, even though it may not seem so to me. Send me, grant me real blessing, not a apparent blessing. Isn't it true that many things pass for blessings which are not? You see, the language, the emphatic language of this petition speaks volumes. The Jabez desired in his soul that the Lord would really and truly bless him. And what are those blessings? Surely they are not those short-lived temporal blessings, but those spiritual and eternal blessings. You remember the Lord Jesus spoke about that rich farmer and what harvests he garnered in. Until his barns were full and overflowing. And he said to himself, I will pull them down and build greater that I may have But we're by no means of schoolmakers. He said to himself, Saul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, I wonder how many in the community, looking upon him, would have said, how he has been blessed. How he has been blessed. But that night, God Almighty said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? Again, the Lord Jesus spoke about the rich man. The rich man that lived in the fine house. He was dressed in purple and fine linen. And he sat down to the well, spread table. And you all know his history as it moves into eternity. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments in the fire. He could never say of him that he was blessed. Lord, shall they give utterance to these words? He was a man who desired that the Lord would really and truly bless him, not with short-lived temporal blessings, but spiritual and eternal blessings. To be blessed indeed. And what is it to be blessed indeed? The rules are blessed indeed who have grace now to enjoy and glory to expect hereafter. They are blessed indeed. Chavez desired such blessing. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich indeed. O child of God, how blessed you and I are. You may recall that last Sunday we did read the great sentence in Ephesians chapter 1. And it opens with this statement in the verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were underlining the significance of that title in the New Testament Revelation. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, the Lord has blessed us indeed in Christ. You'll notice it says, hath blessed us. The sentence opens up those blessings. They are extensive blessings. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And of course, as you think about this great sentence in this chapter that runs down to the first 14, how excellent are those blessings. Because as we were singing our opening hymn of praise today, that is based on the same thought here, we have the blessings of God the Father. We then have the blessings of God the Son spoken of. And then we have the blessings of God the Holy Spirit spoken of. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and they are excellent blessings because they are the blessings of the triune God. But they are eternal blessings. Because the great sentence, as it were, takes us into eternity past, sweeps through time to eternity yet to come. And of course it speaks, doesn't it, of that inheritance that we have in Him. Oh, how blessed
we are in Christ. That brings me to the second thing, which I want to develop, keeping that thought very much in mind.
Because you'll notice, immediately we have those words, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast."
Secondly, Jabez desired growth in the inheritance of God.
He desired growth in the inheritance of God.
If you turn for a moment, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Just two of a number of texts that
they help us to understand the setting of this prayer.
In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and in the verse 20, "When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he hath promised thee." Just notice that enlarging of the border. Turn to chapter 19. 19 and the 38.
"And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers,
and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers." Jabez prayed that his coast would be enlarged.
I believe that in the light of old references in the book of Deuteronomy, we can say that Jabez lived soon after the settlement of Israel in the land of promise. And he knew. As the Lord had said to Joshua,
and to turn back to that book for a moment,
"There remains yet very much land to be possessed." And do you remember that in chapter 18 of the book of Joshua, chapter 18 and the verse 3, that Joshua had to rebuke many for their slackness in going in to possess their inheritance in God?
You notice that in the third verse of Joshua 18. "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?" That was not the mind of Jabez.
He made this a matter of prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." And what is he praying for? He is praying that he may possess his possession from the Lord.
Now, of course, this is familiar scriptural language.
This is a familiar biblical concept spiritual. Indeed, it is reflected in the hymnology of our church. We all have a coast. We all have a boundary line that marks out the territory of our spiritual experience.
You remember I said I want us to consider this matter in the light of Ephesians. How we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a glorious inheritance in Him. The certain question this morning is this: is it not true of all of us? How little of us has been appropriated by us?
Have we not failed, alas, to enter into the experience and the enjoyment of that which is ours in Christ. Secondly, the book of Ephesians is a book that opens up to us, perhaps more so than any other passage in the Bible, our spiritual wealth in Christ. It is in that little book that we read of the unsearchable riches of Christ.
And yet, strangely, spiritually, we can live at times such impoverished lives. We fail to cope with it, to enter into the experience and enjoyment of what is ours in Him. And the scriptures speak about that, don't they? 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 6.
And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll notice verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own hearts. How often we are straitened in ourselves. How often circumscribed as far as spiritual things are concerned. How often we live our Christian life within such narrow bounds. How often indeed we are hemmed in by the mountains of unbelief. Do we not all need to pray this year for the enlarging of our coasts spiritually, the enlarging of the coasts of our spiritual comprehension. Oh, how much there is of the territory of Holy Scripture to be explored and understood and possessed by us. You remember the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, and in the verse 18 he says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things. Things to wonder at. May I ask you that in your reading of the scriptures, when was the last time that a sense of wonder flooded your soul at that which you were reading? You remember Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in the verse 11, now all these things, making reference to our Old Testament scriptures, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Oh, how much spiritual wisdom we need to gain through the scriptures of truth, to learn those lessons that God in mercy has put upon the pages of our Bible, so graphically, so vividly, so powerfully. Above all, of course, we ought to desire to see more and more of Christ in the Bible. You remember those disciples, as I mentioned in prayer, in Luke's Gospel chapter 24. And the Lord Jesus, we read in the verse 27, began at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. I used to get a little magazine back in the United Kingdom. That was its title. The things concerning himself. And every article in it was about Christ. Christ that is so wonderfully to be seen in the pages of our Bible. Are you praying as you turn to the Scriptures of truth? Show me Jesus. Let me see something of Christ in my reading today. Let me learn something of Christ in my reading today. In Ephesians chapter 1, as I drew your attention to it in the great sentence, it opens up all our blessings in the Lord Jesus. What is it that Paul immediately does? He has prayer. He begins to pray. And in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To what end? Well, notice it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And in a sense, what is Paul doing? He's just opened up in the Scriptures in Ephesians 1. Oh, what blessings are ours in him. And then Paul prays, O God, open their eyes. Let their dear kids see these things. Let them come to know and understand what is theirs in Christ. Oh, how much we need the enlarging of the coasts of our spiritual comprehension. You turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. By another illustration, by way of application of this thought. Psalm 119 and verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. How much we need to pray for the enlarging of our hearts, our deepening desires after the Lord, our expanded affections as far as spiritual things are concerned, to know in our hearts more of the throbbing of spiritual life, to know more in our hearts of the love of Christ, of which we read already today the path of knowledge and understanding, to know more of the feelings of our hearts, to have hearts that know something of what it is to burn with that holy heart burn of which we read in Luke 24. To know hearts from which there is dispelled, alas, the coldness and the deadness that so easily besets us. Oh, enlarge my heart. How much we need to pray that we would know more liberty in our hearts. More communion with Christ in our hearts. I read to you in Ephesians chapter 3 that great prayer of the apostle with that staggering statement in it. And you'll notice in that great prayer that in the verse 16 Paul prays that the God and Father of the Lord Jesus would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. To what end? What a powerful petition. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And I say to you, to what end? Well, you have them immediately. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's the end. We need to be strengthened. As we read there, with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man, in order that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. I don't want to start preaching on the prayer this morning. But we need to be so strengthened if we are going to experience what it is for Christ to dwell in our hearts in all of His glorious fullness. We read of those who had those experiences. They've known what it is to have such communion with Christ, and their heart and soul to be so ravaged with His love that they felt they could not live. Some cried out, "Lord, it is enough." There was one Puritan whose name escapes me, failed to turn up to the pulpit. And his congregation went looking for him, and he'd been out in the woods in communion with God, and they found him there in the woods. It swooned under the impact of the Lord coming to his soul. That's a real experience, isn't it? There are some of our hymns, you know, and they give expression to that. Love with everlasting love. Taught thy grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above thou hast taught me. It is so. You all know that. Heaven above. So. Earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue. Christless eyes have never seen. Oh, to lie forever here. That's real experience, you see. That's what Paul is praying for. That they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. And if you're going to be filled with all the fullness of God, you need to be strengthened of all might by the Spirit and the inner man. That's what this prayer is all about. But we need our hearts enlarged. Don't we need the Lord to come in such visitations to our own soul? How easy it is just to go through the motions of prayer. Say the right things. Because we may feel we have, as it were, fulfilled our Christian duty. We with some degree of contentment go about the daily round of tasks. Oh, how much do we know that we are receiving God and meeting with God, to have our hearts lavished with a sense of His love, to have desires not to leave the place of prayer, but to abide there, to abide there. How much we need, and I suppose I've really been covering this, because I'm preaching in and out of my notes this morning. How much we need the enlarging of our coast prayer for in the area of our Christian experience. To have spiritual development. To have spiritual growth. To have spiritual maturity. How much we need to cultivate greater fields of faith. And the fruits of humility and patience and all those other graces. You remember that Paul again prayed for that? The church in Philippi. In the opening chapter, that great prayer of Paul, that they indeed, in verse 11, we read, might be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Please turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter and the chapter 1. I'm sure that you're familiar with the passage beginning in the first 5, all the things that we are diligently seek to add in our Christian experience. May I suggest to you what is a very wonderful study. The Bible's a wonderful book. Joseph. His name means adding. And you can take this passage and then go to the life of Joseph, and you can trace in Joseph's life how God in his providence caused all these things to be added onto Joseph. Not that we're doing that this morning, but you'll notice what it's saying, it's giving all diligence. Add to your virtue, to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we can say, Lord, enlarge thy coasts. Grant me that enablement that I need to cultivate these graces. My Christian experience. Of course, it does lend itself to such application. We could do well to pray for the enlarging of the coasts of our service for Jesus Christ this year. For the enlarging of our usefulness. To be a more active member of the body of Christ. To know more of that devotion to his work and to his service. To be more zealous of servants of God. Oh, Jabez prayed for the grace of the blessing of God. Jabez prayed for growth in the inheritance of God. And we would do well to make that prayer our prayer and to seek God for these things in our own spiritual experience. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts this morning for his